Mario is going to come and share in just a little bit. I'm excited for you to hear some of the story, to hear what's going on in Croatia. We got to meet with Mario last night with a number of folks in the church. And it was just, I think if you would talk to anyone, I think what they would come away with is just awe for who God is. And what God is doing in that work there in Croatia, what God is doing in the work there in Mario and Jen's life. But also, I just felt like we were such a blessed people just to kind of share. And there's something special about partnership, about sharing with someone else, you know, that not only knows Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, but has the same values that you have, knowing that in that place, in that country, perhaps the sermons are a little bit shorter, but the same thing is being preached. The glory of God. There's gospel application, not just as a way to come to faith, but as a way to live life. And to me, that's what's most exciting, knowing that those folks that we just saw, the gospel is not only bringing them to faith, as Mario said last night, there's no transfer growth. There's no church hopping happening. Everybody that's coming into that church is going to come through Jesus Christ saving them. And to know that not only are they going to be saved, but they're going to be nourished and strengthened and taught in the gospel. That to me is the most exciting endeavor that can ever be taken under. And Mario's doing that. And wouldn't it be great to partner with he and Jen in that endeavor? And if you want to partner with them just in prayer, if you in the back table there on the women's ministry table, actually, because our main table is put down because we're not having children's ministry today, you can find out how you can pray for them. You can find out how you might be able to give with them. We're going to probably do something as a church as well. But that's something you can look into. Please take time to be able to talk to them, meet to them, maybe ask them ways that you can be praying for them. But no, just as Mario said last night, we're really in this together. We're in this fight, this challenge, this dark world. We are bringing light to people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So, Tuesday, Mario and Jen and their family of six children. Would you guys mind just standing up real quick so we can just thank the Lord for you? Thanks, guys. You can sit down. But they will be heading back to Croatia. They've actually been on a 60-day trip, and they have been on the road almost every one of those 60 days. So they've traveled all over. And to think that they would be willing to come here to share with us on their last stop before going to Croatia. I just feel so honored, guys, that you would be willing to do that. And it has been a delightful time for them, as I said, a tiring time, as you can imagine, 60 days in a row all over seven different states. I think from state to state, church to church, relationship to relationship. But also they say they are very full, full as they have experienced just the fellowship and the partnership of God's people together. So, Mario, Jen, just want to thank you. Thank you for your investment in our church. Thank you for being willing to share your story. And we are so excited to have you share here this morning. So, church, could we welcome Mario as he comes forward to share God's word with us? You're asking the wrong guy. Yep, you got it.
Right here. Yeah. And I have something for you right here. This is a gift from Church of God's Grace Croatia to you and this body of believers right here. I met Bruce 4 years ago. He's He was my professor at Pastor's College. Dear church, you are blessed to have him, this man who loves the Lord, gospel, and him and his family are truly God's gift to you. He is a godly, godly man. Thank you so much for having us
here,
buddy.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you. God bless you. Well, again, I have to say, I'm honored to be here. It's a privilege to be here. And after receiving the love we have received last night and the welcome this morning, church, you can see love of Christ through you here. And thank you for that. That means a lot to me, to my family, but I know that it means a lot to this community around you. The love of Christ is truly clear and visible in you, in your example. God is good. God is good. Today we're going to be in the book of Romans. I'm going to share a couple of words from the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans 10, 8 to 15. Romans 10, 8 to 15. The title of sermon today is By the Word of God Through the Voice of Men. By the Word of God Through the Voice of Men. Let me pray. Dear Lord, dear God, I thank you so much that we're able to approach you right here personally. Thank you that you're with us today. Lord, we're coming because we just want to worship you, Lord, and we want to be taught by you. So, God, I pray for every soul this morning in this building, that all those voices that we're bringing in from this week and this morning and all that hard situation or whatever is happening, Lord, can you quiet down those voices of this week and let us hear you. Let us hear you this morning. God, please lead us. We love you. We need you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According to the Greek historian books, 490 before Christ, Athens, Greece, a man running from the town called Marathon, Greece, enters the Greek Senate, interrupts the session, and delivers three words that change Greek and European history. Joy, we won. And then he dies. This man was running for 22 miles from the town of Marathon with no break, no rest, no stop. He was carrying a good news of a Greek military victory over Persian invading army, mighty army. The Europe and Greece were in danger. In the town of Marathon today, you can see a sculpture dedicated to this man. And also, we know that long-running race is named after this marathon running. But today, we will be talking about a different kind of message, good news. The good news of a victory that has affected and changed the world for eternity. We will talk about a news that has direct impact in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods today. It has impact today. This news still needs to be proclaimed to the broken and invaded world around us. The world, what is invaded with evil and sin, still waits for a liberation and freedom that we, God's children, enjoy right now, here today. Let's read Romans 10, 8 to 15. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It's a perfect word of God. The apostle, a little bit of background story of Romans. The apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Rome. He had never met these people, but he heard of them. He's encouraged by them. The church in Rome was started by Jewish immigrants who are now living in that city. They had probably heard the gospel at the Pentecost in the Acts 2. And now, as they are living in the center of the world at that time, the city of Rome, the power of gospel had worked through them. And the church is established in the darkest city of that time. God has planted a church in the darkest city of that time. Paul, who had never again saw these people, he's just encouraged of how God is using believers all over the world for his glory. And he's writing this letter to introduce himself and his ministry to them. In this section of chapter 10, Paul is reminding all of them and all of us of the gospel message. Salvation through faith in Christ alone. And then he's explaining how God is using his church to carry on the good news to the rest of the world. Main theme this morning, main summary, if you will, is this. Through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and new life to the lost souls. Through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and a new life to the lost souls. Two main points we have this morning. Number one, gospel, only way of salvation, verses 8 to 13. Gospel, only way of salvation. Number two, the amazing privilege, verses 14 to 15. The amazing privilege. Point number one. In the text we see here, there are two very important things that Paul is pointing out three times in verses 8 to 10. And we know when God is repeating something, he's saying, pay attention. Listen. This is important. So he's repeating two very important things. One, the mouth. And two, the heart. The mouth and the heart. By mouth, he's referring to what comes out of it, our words. And by heart, he's referring to our beliefs. What we believe in. What are we putting our trust in? Here in this part of the Romans, Paul is especially focused on how sinner can receive the gospel message and receive eternal life. That's the focus here. How sinner can receive the gospel message and then receive eternal life. In these verses, he repeats that with our mouth we confess, and with our heart we believe. In what? What do we believe in, church? What do we believe in, church? We believe in the gospel. That Jesus is Lord, that He died for our sins, and that God raised Him from the dead. Amen? The outward confessions or with our words is a reflection that we believe in our hearts. He says, when we believe with our hearts, we are justified. Justified means that justice has been served. We are declared or made righteous in the sight of God. When we confess and repent of our sin and trust Christ, that He stood in our place and took the punishment that we deserve, we can legally stand clean in front of holy God. In these verses, we see a door. Open door given by God to all people who are desperate, who are lonely, who are lost, who are without hope, without meaning, without purpose. Here we see the gift of God's mercy, pardon, salvation, second chance, new life to all people. Mark 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." 1 John 1:9, "But if we confess our sins to God, He will keep His promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing." Dear church, that's amazing. We see that if you confess your sin before God, you enter His grace, forgiveness, you follow Him, you are saved, and His Word dwells in you. Confess your sin before God, you enter His grace, forgiveness, you follow Him, and His Word is dwelling in you. God's Word. So what happens when a man enters through this gate? When a man and a woman enters the gospel of Jesus Christ, well, pretty amazing things happen. You, ordinary man or woman, become a voice of God. Messenger. Body of Christ. The living gospel that has saved you is now given to you and dwells in you. In verse 13, Paul closes this part of his plea to believe in gospel with the words, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And the next section, 14 to 15, he asks several questions to the reader to explain how God is using His church to reach the lost. And this leads me to point number two, the amazing privilege. The privilege to share saving gospel of Jesus Christ for Jen and I and my family to go in Croatia. The privilege to share saving gospel of Jesus Christ for you who are right here in this town. You see, both of these people are saved by God's grace and giving a message to share. That's a privilege. You have been saved for eternity. And you have been given a message that you need to share. It is not yours to keep, it's yours to share. And how are we going to do this task? How are we going to do this? Words. Isn't it amazing that something that we take for granted, something we use every day, becomes so ordinary? Words. Our communication. We have conversations. We speak, we ask, we answer, we talk. Ordinary stuff. Just ordinary, mundane stuff, right? We speak about sports, politics, music, school, friends. We text, we email, we blog. We have become expressionist, extraordinary. And we have a bit to say to the world around us. And we will. Words we use for granted are just simply part of everyday life. Right? But those words come from our hearts, and it is through the words of men you can see the state of his or her heart. So whatever your heart is focused on, whatever dwells in your heart, whatever captures your heart will come out through words. So church, what are you going to do with it? Ask yourself, what stops you from talking about Jesus and sharing him with someone you know desperately needs to hear this message? Is it shame? Is it lack of compassion? Is it fear? Is it laziness? Has our love and passion for Christ cooled off? Complacent? Don't care? Are we just too comfortable? If our hearts are not set on the kingdom of God and things of God, what will our mouths speak? If our minds and our eyes are not fixed on Christ, his gracious love and mercy towards us daily, if we're not filling our hearts and minds with his scripture daily, what will be coming out of our mouths? So we got to ask, is Paul here stirring us up for mission? Is Paul calling us to go hit the streets and share the gospel? Or? Absolutely yes. Paul is calling us for mission. But if we truly want to be used by God to proclaim the gospel, to speak with the power of the Holy Spirit, to preach the good news, we ourselves first must have our hearts fixed on Christ and what he has done for us first. We must have our hearts and fixed on Christ and what he has done for us. So the question is the good news truly still good news to you? When others encounter us, is Christ oozing out of you? Has our love for Christ grown cold, or is still the true desiring? Is he still a passion of our hearts, in our hearts, to worship him, to love him and serve him? See, this is the key. Our own closeness to Christ is what will cause our mouths to speak. Our own closeness with Christ will be the thing that will cause our mouth to speak. Acts 4:20 says, "For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And dear church, I know you have seen and heard personally and in the world around you. You have seen mighty hand of God physically. Friend, if your heart has grown cold towards the gospel, or you're just maybe a little bit cooled down from the message that saved your soul, do not be discouraged, my friend. The Lord is calling you first to come to Him and drink deeply from the well of life. He will restore you. If you need restoring, He will forgive you. He will comfort you. Your first love is right there. Right there. He will restore to you the full joy of the gospel. And when He does, my friend, take joy. Run with it. Run with it. Don't hesitate. Proclaim it. And if your cup is full already, and you're taking in Jesus, you're possessing the greatest gift ever given to humankind, mankind. You possess the treasure in the jar of clay. The mystery of the gospel lies in you. And you are called as a precious child of God to share this message to the world around you. May God spur you on in boldness, faith, and perseverance to do so. God's Word, God's Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, dear friends. And listen what God's Word says about those who proclaim the gospel. Jesus Christ, Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings the good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Remember the importance and the effect of the good news of that Greek runner from beginning of sermon? Those three words, the good news of victory done by men. I pray that all of us have full understanding the importance and the effect of the good news that we are carrying in our hearts. Those three words that Jesus has spoken on the cross. It is finished. The good news of victory, we sang this morning, of victory done by God Himself for every man, woman, and child who repent and follow Him. Gospel of Jesus Christ is victory of eternal salvation, freedom and hope that can never change. No matter what circumstances you're in, it can never change. Dear church, I pray that we have the passion, the zeal, and sense of urgency like that Greek man from beginning. So how does the privilege, beauty, and blessing looks like? Well, personally, for Jen and I and our six children, we are ordinary people. I am not super pastor. I am not great theologian. I am not mighty preacher. I am an ordinary dad and a husband. But I'm a wretched sinner saved by grace for eternity. And because of that truth, my life does not belong to me. It was bought with the blood of the Holy God. And everything I am and everything mine belongs to Him. It is all His. He created me. He saved me. He gave me a new life. And He has placed me exactly where I am to share that news to the world around me. And when I had obeyed that command, so when we have obeyed that command we have received, I have seen and witnessed miracles and the mighty hand of God in person, saving His children. And when I asked those questions in verses 14 and 15, as the Lord was leading us to go back to Croatia after 16 years living in the States, I knew the answers to those questions Paul asked. How will Croatians believe if the one they have not heard? Who will tell them the gospel? Who will bring the gospel to them? I didn't have to ask any further. I knew I was called to Croatian people. And you know what? I shared this last night. 80% of the response from them is this: I have never heard it before. How about that privilege? So it wasn't Mary and Jen. It was God. It wasn't Mary and Jen. It was God working through our obedience. And that was amazing privilege and beauty. To witness the effect of gospel among the people of Croatia. That's amazing privilege. To witness God using your obedience to share and love and care. And then see how He's pulling people out of darkness into the light for eternity. And before I share the gospel events in Croatia, I want to remind you of this thing. You have been placed on a mission field right now, right here. As soon as you leave the church door, there is a mission field out there. Your neighborhoods, your families, your work. God has placed you exactly where you need to be to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please pray. Pray for the Lord of harvest, God Almighty, to save the people you see every day. And do not be surprised if you are the answer to your own prayer. It's usually how it works. I'm going to repeat the main theme. Through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and a new life to the lost people, to lost souls. Through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and a new life to the lost souls. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, church. I will share some work. Last 3 years, I'm going to try to share last 3 years through a slide. Well, I'm going to start with this. By far, this was the hardest 3 years of my life. Last 3 years in Croatia. And in the same way, they were the sweetest 3 years of my life. I can't explain it to you. It's hard to explain. So, 2005, God had saved me. 2006, God had placed on my heart to go back to the land of my origin, to share the gospel, to establish the church. Next slide, please. So Croatia is located in Eastern Europe. It was part of Yugoslavia, ex-Yugoslavia, and during the 90s, there were a tremendous war for independence that left country desolated, economy in ruins, and just people without any hope. Right now, Croatia is still recovering from that war. The corruption is high, and you know, young people are trying to escape the country. Croatia is 90% Roman Catholic, but it's traditional Roman Catholic. If you're Croatian, you're Catholic. If you're Catholic, you're Croatian. It's not about faith. It's not about Christ, the gospel. It's just the church. They became a state church, And it's really in every department of the government. Evangelical Christians are less than 1%. So 0.035%. Next slide, please. So after 15 years, a living American dream, I came to the United States in 2001. The Lord saved me a couple of years later. I was blessed with 4 children, with a home, with a great career. But then in 2016, the call that God has placed on our heart in 2006 never went away. So we were sent out from our sending church, Christ Community Church in Reading, Pennsylvania, and we have landed in Croatia. Next slide, please. So since we landed, we were privileged to share the gospel with over hundreds of people. Privileged to see families coming to know the Lord and to love the Lord, and then disciple them for months, and then, you know, that's a special moments of, you know, being able to baptize them in Adriatic Sea. It's hard to explain again with the words. Next slide, please. So after 1 year since we landed there, God has led us to this town of Zaprešić. It's connected with the capital of Croatia. Town of Zaprešić is 60,000 people, no evangelical church, and just darkness. People seeking hope, direction. Next slide, please. So we left there alone, Jen, myself, then 4 children. Lord bless us with 2 more on the field. So we went alone, church planting internationally. But God, in His grace and love, brought family to us. Now again, in Croatia, there's no, like Pastor said, there's no Christians walking around, they're going to walk in a church. Every single person needs to be, you know, saved. Spend months and years of discipling and caring, and then bring them to church. So the town we went to, we met this couple that Lord saved 15 years ago through a missionary passing through. And then the missionaries left. But for 15 years, this family's Drago and Vesna praying for church. So something we were enjoying every Sunday, during the week, the fellowship, the understanding these people were praying for. And then we showed up. The same, not a team we have, a local family, Dragan and Brankica Tomašević. We met him several years ago. Lord also saved him like 10 years ago. He had finished some theological training. And when we met and I shared the vision with him, he felt from God to join us in this work. So they joined. They moved to this town of Zaprešić with their 3 children. So now there's 3 families. And then a year ago, from our sending church, Church of God's Grace in Croatia, Christ Community Church in Pennsylvania, there was a family coming in. Daniel and Caitlin Crocker, they did 3 years of fundraising, and for 1 year now they're back in Croatia. They're in Croatia. And they're just doing an amazing job with the worship and children ministry. And their vision is they just want to become Croatians. They want to be local. They want to serve a local church. So there's 4 families. Again, from Church Planting International alone to having a team in a country that it's less than 1% evangelical Christian, that's a miracle. Next slide, please. So when we started working in Zaprešić, we have God led us to this place, this office in the center of town. And what we get from this location is we have a presence in the community. And people, there's old buildings around us. And people are still afraid to come Thursdays and Sundays officially. But they're coming through the week. Because now they're recognizing that, you know, they're coming in to meet with me, to pray, to read Bible, to just spend time with him. So they're coming through the week. And as a matter of fact, it's funny, we had a word of from Lord last night that someone shared that they see a space that it's kind of in the center and people are coming in to talk about Christ. Well, I don't know who shared it last night, but that's exactly what's happening. People are coming through the week just to pray, read Bible, and so thank you again for last night for faithfulness and sharing that. Just another confirmation. But anyway, people are coming. We're having visitors. The neighbors around those buildings, they're still, you know, they're hesitant, but they're sending their children and their grandchildren to the service. They're afraid to come officially. They will come Monday to Friday, you know, when no one's watching, but they're afraid to come on Sundays. And that's why we have a service at Sunday at 6 p.m. because some of our members are still attending the church in the morning, and then in the afternoon they go for a walk and they find a way to our church. Next slide, please. So here it is. Church of God's Grace. This, with 20 members we have, is a mega church in Croatia. This is just a privilege to be a part of it, see how God is working in that land where there is no gospel presence. And just in less than 2 years that there is a church established. Next slide, please. We meet every Thursday and Sunday. We're preaching every Sunday the Word, Bible study and care group every Thursday. And for now, almost two years, we are just building together. This team is building together. God is knitting us together. There's friendship, communion with the Lord, and then with each other. And we feel just right now we are at that beautiful time that we're ready to go and hit the streets even more. Next slide, please. Focus for the next season is evangelism. It's going to be heavy evangelism work. Because like I said, you know, there's no Christians around. People need to hear the word. And then spending hours with them explaining the love of Christ and what he has done. Pray for us for that. It already is, but it's going to be even more intensified work now. We see it, but we feel that's exactly what God is leading us to do. Next slide, please. We have become official. So we were recognized by the church, by the government, as a non-profit organization in Croatia, which is amazing, considering that we're not really welcomed over there. Next slide, please. We were able to translate several Sovereign Grace music, gospel-centered music, that really are now being used as a means of evangelism. Like I said, when we do our Thursdays and Sundays, when we do a worship, we open our door and our windows, and we know there's hundreds of people hearing this worship in Croatian, the gospel in Croatian language. Next slide, please. With all the fruit I shared, the last 3 years, again, there were many challenges. There was many hard moments. We were kicked out twice out of our home. We received threats regularly at our home. We got denied 6 times from the banks to get a mortgage, even to be able to prove our credit and pay and everything. As soon as it comes to my job description, denied. We're not able to secure housing for all those years. Croatians, we have two specters of response to the gospel. One was just aggressively against what we're doing and who we are. And then another side was reaction to the voice of God. You know, and again, that's a privilege. But again, it was and it still is hard. We are not welcomed by the government. We are Protestant in a Catholic country, and they see us as a cult. And they see us as an enemy of the state, if you want to say so. Next slide, please. But God, 1 month before we're coming to this trip, to this 2 month journey in the United States to share what God is doing, it was the bank number 7 that approved us for mortgage. And Jen, who was denied her citizenship for 3 years, and she was supposed to get a citizenship through me and her dad, she was, again, in the same month, she received approval, and she got her citizenship. And I mentioned it, but I have to say it again. We were blessed with 2 more children in those 3 years. Yes, it's hard, but it's an amazing gift, what God has given us, because we love them so much. Next slide, please. The last 3 years, we shall share the gospel with hundreds of people. We have witnessed people getting saved, baptized. The church, Lord, established His church for the next, we pray, 400 or 500 years, or till He returns. It's not Jen, it's not Mario. We believe we're just part of what God is doing in the land over there. And we're just privileged to be there. Next slide, please. I want to personally thank you. I know already there's a partnership with your church. But I want to thank you, and I want to invite you for more prayers. We need it. We need the prayers of saints here in the States. Because, again, I shared this a little bit last night, there was so many impossible situations that we were in. And it was, like I said, physically you can see how God, through the prayers of the saints and His mercy and grace, has lifted us up and kept us on the path. So please, pray for us. Pray for the church. And thank you. Now, again, up front, we have a newsletter sign-up sheet. If you want to sign up, put your email there. We will send you a monthly update of what's going on and what's the next stage of the church plant looks like, so you know specifically what to pray for. Dear church, this were last 2 months in States were very hard physically, but I have to say it. Jen and I are blessed and encouraged by the church like yours, faithful servants, faithful believers, who through all the seasons are looking on a cross and have faith and have faith that He will hold us fast. We have witnessed that last night and this morning. And know this, Church of God's Grace in Croatia will specifically pray with you, for you. It goes both ways. Thank you. Thank you for your time. God is good.
Forward. Chris, Juliana, if you'd mind coming forward as well. Love for Chris to pray specifically for Mario, for Jen, for their family, and knowing what it's like to be that family, and especially kids having to come up front. We're just going to just stay right there, not have to move. We're going to pray for you. So, same Savior, same Gospel, different location. Isn't it an encouraging story? Mario left out a number of things he shared last night, just the difficulties, different challenges. One of the things I thought was just amazing was during that last month or so, after being kicked out of numerous homes, they'd already had this planned 60-day respite over here, I guess, in the United States, and to return. But they were going to return homeless. unless this mortgage with this bank went through. And so that's something that they've experienced a number of times. Can you imagine dads or moms living for Jesus Christ, and this has happened a couple of times over there, and just being homeless, not knowing where you'd stay because no one wants you to stay. And as soon as they find out who you are and what you're doing, they don't want anything to do with you. And in fact, the place that they were now going to be living at, that they now are able to purchase, Mario said that they actually, when they were renting that place, the only condition that allowed them to stay there was that they were not to allow anyone, they were not to ever invite anyone into their home. So imagine you're a church planter, and that's kind of the whole idea, is trying to invite people in so you can share and not even be allowed to do that. But as I look up there and look at that mega church, I'm just so encouraged. That's our God. That's who our God is. He's able to overcome not just opposition in Croatia, not just thwarting the plans of the devil, but probably the greatest thing, he's able to change hearts and change lives forever. And that's what each and every one of us is a part of. We get the privilege of doing that. So thank you, Mara. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, kids, for your investment in the kingdom of God. We are so proud of you. We stand with you. We will be continuing to pray for you and lift you up and partner with you in the greatest endeavor that has ever been given, both men and women, and that's to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he's done. So this is what we're going to do. Chris is going to pray for Mario, for Jen, for their family, and then we're going to sing. We're going to stand and sing in response. So, Chris.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your kindness to allow us to see a little bit of what you're doing on another part of this planet. And we know that you are a great God. You've created this earth to bring you glory, to reveal who you are, and you're doing it. And we see so little, but thank you for this little glimpse. And we pray so much for this family and for the work that you are doing through them. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen Victor and Jen and in their family as they're about to go back. Lord, would you miraculously refresh them, even though they'll be in transitioning for the next 3 days? It's going to be busy, busy. Lord, would you refresh them on a plane ride that's so hard to sleep? Would you gift them with rest? Would you transition them back into their home? Thank you for that gift. And would you refresh their vision for the church and how you want to work there and how you want to work through them? Lord, we pray your blessing on the church of God's grace in Croatia. We ask that it would be a place that is rooted on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, that it would be immovable, that you would do impossible things in it and through it. We pray for the proclamation of the gospel from it. We pray you give them favor with people. Thank you for the favor you've also already given. How beautiful their feet are. I pray they would be beautiful to the neighborhood. I pray they'd be beautiful to officials. I pray you would do unthinkable things as they are able to make the gospel glorious around them. For Lord, would you make yourself look great in the context of that church? We pray against the enemy. We pray you put a hedge of protection around this church so that it would nothing that would come against it would stand. Lord, we pray that the flames of the enemy would be extinguished, that the belt of truth, that the shield of the breastplate of righteousness, Lord, the shield of faith, all these things would be active and effective in advancing your kingdom. Come, God, and have mercy on this city that the church of God's grace is in. Lord, prosper this family. Bless your work in them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Last year, I had a friend from another country come up to me at a conference and said this. He says, Bruce, I want you to know that my wife and I have been praying for your wife every single morning. And I can't tell you the strength that that brought me, knowing that someone from another country was praying for my family, praying for my wife as we walked through a very difficult time with cancer. It just floored me. But there's going to come a day when there's going to be no such thing as Croatians, no such thing as Americans, no such thing as Catholics or Baptists or Presbyterians. Just those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, shouting and screaming His praises and glory there in heaven. You are worthy of strength and honor and might and power. You are worthy of glory. That's the day that we look forward to, that we long to see happen, which is going to happen, is guaranteed to happen. But until then, prayer is important. So please visit that back table, sign up your name, and pray for this precious family. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Croatia who are already there, and brothers and sisters who are to come in the years to come, as they know Christ, as they share, that we together would someday be around the throne, and we would be able to say to those, "Hey, my friend, I want you to know, though I was from a different country, I've been praying for you." They're likely going to return and say, "Hey, though I was from a different country, I want you to know, I was praying for you too." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. God, fill us with your hope yet again. The hope of the gospel. Though at times there's challenges and struggles, the hope of glory is worth it. Jesus, you are worth it. Help us to live in light of not only what the gospel has done, but what the gospel is doing and what the gospel promises one day, being around your throne together, worshiping and praising the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who has conquered, the one who is great, almighty counselor. Oh, Lord, we so look forward to that day. Help us to live well in the meantime. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.